Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
Go ahead and open your Bibles up to Genesis 23. We're 23 chapters into the book of Genesis so far. I've enjoyed the study. I hope you have enjoyed it as well. I will confess to you that this chapter has been one of the hardest to study. It is the least commentated chapter so far in Genesis. No systematic theology books use Genesis 23 in their systematic study. And it left me to wonder why that actually is. And although this passage contains significant teaching, significant understanding about who God is and what he does, I think this particular passage allows us a significant look into the suffering and difficulty of being a human. Those moments that we experience of great suffering and sorrow. Maybe you've even heard this particular line from this poem. It goes this way. I hold it true, whatever befall, I feel it when I sorrow the most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. This is the final words of a poem penned by Alfred Lord Tennyson. It was entitled In Memorandum, A.H.H. It was published in the height of the Victorian era in 1850, the same year that Tennyson became England's post laureate. But it was born out of an incredible season of profound, life-altering grief for Tennyson. It was a masterpiece that actually was 17 years in the process of contemplating and constructing. A.H.H. stands for Arthur Henry Talon. This was Tennyson's closest friend who suddenly died in 1833 at the age of 22. Yet Helen wasn't just a friend to Tennyson. He was a source of artistic inspiration and literary confidence upon which the budding poet relied. Because of this, and because of their bond, Hallam's death shattered Tennyson's world. The loss of a loved one can be devastating. It can actually make us wonder if Mr. Tennyson's words are true. Is it really better to have loved and to lost than to never have loved at all? But brothers and sisters, we have a hope in Christ Jesus that allows us to face these very difficult times with peace and confidence, knowing that God has a plan even in our darkest and most difficult moments. So with this in mind, I want to encourage you to stand if you're able for a reading from the Word of God, Genesis chapter 23. Starting in verse 1, it says this. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died at Kirjath Arba. That's in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord. You are prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of his city. No, Lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, But if you will, hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, my Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron and Machpelah, which was at the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. The main idea of this particular passage today, my thesis for this passage, is that God is working out his promises in his time. Therefore, we must live and die in faith. One of the first things that I want to encourage you to see in this particular passage in verses 1 and 2 is coping with the loss of a loved one. You see, the Bible is often misconstrued as a book of do's and don'ts, a book of rules that tell us how to live. And although the Bible does tell us what God expects of us, how God expects us to live, it also shows God to be a God of compassion that understands the human condition. Many times throughout the Bible, God will allow us to look through the looking glass into some of the most intimate and difficult situations in the life of people. And in Genesis 23, we're going to be allowed to look in on one of the most difficult situations a person could ever face, the death of the love of their life, the death of a spouse of many years. When someone we love dies, we can feel such a sense of great loss. The things that they used to say, the sound of their laugh, even the way that they used to make you feel. Everything about them seems lost, and it can only be truly felt in our memory of them. Oftentimes, we don't realize how special someone is to us until they're gone. But the weight of their absence helps us to see the importance that they had in our lives. Sarah, Abraham's wife, had a very important role in his life, but also in the plan of God. She was the mother of Isaac, the son of the promise. She is the only matriarch of the Old Testament that has her age recorded in the Bible at the time of her death. At some point in our lives, each of us is going to experience the death of someone that was significant to us. The death of a family member, the death of a close friend, those can be devastating. And death can happen suddenly, or it can be something that's anticipated. Each person deals with death differently. But what is common to all of us is this process that's talked about here in the text of mourning and sadness. In ancient cultures, they had a formal mourning process. This would include anything from shaving their head to tearing their clothes to putting ashes on top of their head. The text tells us that Abraham goes to Sarah's tent to carry out this formal mourning process. Today, we oftentimes have a formal mourning process as well. The process of a wake, the process of the funeral ceremony, and the graveside. There are different ways that different cultures and churches do this process, but for the most part, in the Protestant church, we follow a similar process. But all these are outward expressions of what we're feeling inside. But today, there's this idea that you need to either hold your feelings inside and don't let them out, or on the other extreme, that you should be beside yourself with grief. I've been to funerals where someone is clearly fighting back any emotion at all. And even one funeral that I attended, a person was so overcome with grief, they tried to climb in the casket with their deceased loved one. Let me just say a few things to consider if you're facing the loss of a loved one that will hopefully help you. First, sorrow and tears are not a sign of weakness, but a sign of love. Abraham doesn't mourn and weep because he's weak. He mourns and weeps because he loved Sarah. Even in the life of Christ, we see him weep, not because he is weak, but because he loved the people he was weeping over. No one would argue that Jesus was weak. In fact, it could be easy to argue that he was the strongest man to ever live. So if you're holding back tears to show strength, know that the strongest man that ever lived shed some tears from time to time. Second, Abraham's mourning and weeping didn't stop him from doing what was needed to be done and what was right. God empowers us to do hard things. And one of the hardest things that we could ever be asked to do is to keep going when we're stricken with grief. But grief and our perseverance is used by God to shape us into the image of Christ. If you remember with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, talk about this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 say, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Here's what this text is telling us. We must go through hard times to be shaped into the image of Christ. What you're experiencing currently has the purpose, if you are a Christian, to shape you into being more like Christ. Here's the third and final thing that's hopefully helpful to you. Don't mourn alone. You don't have to suffer in silence alone. God has sovereignly brought together his church here at Crossbridge to walk together during some of the hardest times of your life. There are people who have already walked through something similar to what you're experiencing and would be happy to walk through that situation with you. One of the tools that we employ here at Crossbridge to help you in your mourning and weeping is what we would call biblical counseling. Biblical counseling is not just for those who are struggling with a sin issue, but it's also for those who need help and hope during their mourning. Through that process, we try to connect you with a mentor who will walk with you and help.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.